Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Continuing with previous messages.
Amen. We prayed from Joshua chapter 1. I can tell you that a lot of things happening this year, I can see it from that scripture. You know, Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 says that after the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua, arise and take the people into the promise. I talk about new beginnings. I talk about new dimensions. And I'll also talk about crisis, and I talk about funerals. I talk about funerals because God was speaking to Joshua when Moses died. Amen? It was necessary for Moses to die because Joshua's ministry had to begin. And Moses died because his time was up. Do you understand me? So sometimes when preaching is coming, you hear God's voice. In fact, most of the time when a preaching is going on, we all don't hear the same things. I've gone to program with Pastor Godwin, and then when we close, he'll be telling me about something that really touched him. And me, that thing really doesn't bother me at all. But me too, there is something the man of God said that was relevant to me because of either what I'm going through or what I'm believing God for. The man just hit me like that in a statement or a scripture so that God has spoken to me. So at the end of every service that you go, you must ask yourself, what did God say to me? Through this whole long talk that the pastor did, what did God say to me? Amen? It's not only when a man of God calls you forward and say, hey, I see you. I see you. Hallelujah. Then you say, oh, thank God, Lord, today. No. As I'm talking right now, God can speak to you. Yeah, as I'm talking right now, God can speak to you. God has spoken to me a lot hearing men of God. Amen? The third way God speaks to us is through the inner witness. The inner witness. Another phrase for inner witness is the inward voice. Inward voice. Everybody say inward voice. Say it one more time. Through the heart. Inward voice means deep within you, you feel something is telling you something. Now, many times I've heard Christians saying, I was sitting there and something told me to get up. And as soon as I get up, there was disaster at the place. How many have heard this statement before? Or how many of you have said that before? That something was telling you that there's something wrong with the person you are dealing with. Maybe somebody wants to marry you. Now, look good looking, very nice, but you are there. Well, anytime you see the man, your mind like him, but something is telling you that we can. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? This is how Romans 8 said. It said, the spirit bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8, 14. Let's read from verse 14. It said, for as many as are what? Led by the spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry what? Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit makes you want to hear God as a father, as a father. It makes you feel you are not a slave, you are a child, and you are told about hearing his voice. Amen? Look at verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. So here, the Holy Spirit is not speaking to you. He's just bearing you a witness, a witness. That is what you feel. You feel like sometimes you sleep and when you wake up suddenly in the middle of the night and somebody tell you, get up and go and pray. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? Or sometimes you wake up in a particular day, you are just there and you feel, don't eat today, fast. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yeah. Sometimes you get to your shop and you feel something. You just feel it. You sense, that's what I always say, I sense something or I perceive. Sometimes you see Apostle Paul saying, I perceive this. That is the inward witness. Give me Romans 9 verse 1. Sometimes too, it comes in the form of bad feeling. He said, I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me what? Witness in the Holy Spirit. What is conscience? Conscience is an inward voice, isn't it? How do you feel when you do bad? Your conscience begins to what? It begins to condemn you. And let me say today that sometimes your conscience will not only condemn you because you sinned. Hallelujah. Your conscience can condemn you even when you want to do a good thing, which is not the right thing. For instance, traveling is not sin, is it? It's not a bad thing, but there is a day you can plan to travel, and when you wake up, you feel bad about the journey. All right? You feel within you that what you are doing is wrong. Hallelujah. That is the inward voice. Don't try that journey. You will have disaster. And then people say, oh, where was God? Why did God leave him? No. God tried to stop you and you didn't listen. Amen. Yeah. So anything you want to do after praying about it, one of the ways to check is how do you feel about it? If it's of God, number one, you will feel very excited about it. Number two, you will be at peace about it. Number three, you will be sure. You will be so confident about it. In fact, people will be discouraging you, but you will just know that this thing is going to work. Hallelujah. Yeah, you feel very confident about it. You feel good about it. But if it is not the will of God, number one, you feel bad. Number two, you are scared. Number three, always, you are not sure. You ask yourself, hey, this thing, will it work? This thing, will it? If you are start asking that question, then you start going to people. What do you think? Don't you think this thing I'm going to do is work? If you are sure it will work, why are you asking me? The fact that you are not sure, you are still looking for people to confirm it, tells you that you yourself, you know that something is wrong. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to do this thing, very important. Never say something spoke to me, because that something is the Spirit of God. Oh, I was sleeping and I woke up. Something told me to go and pray. No, don't say that again. That is for childish Christians. You should be able to tell people the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Somebody brought me an offer of a land. The place is not a good place, but when I got there, I felt that I should buy it. That is God. That is God. Amen. Awesome. Then you get to it. The land is a very good land. Everything, documents, everything is showing that it's genuine. Hallelujah. But you are getting that signal that don't buy. Don't buy. But then you push it aside. And so the documents are genuine. The documents are genuine. You go to Lands Commission, you check. Everything is genuine. But deep within you, you have this something telling you, don't buy. You buy it and you realize that somebody too has the same document you claim to have. Because in Accra, that is very possible. Amen. So the inward voice. Everyone say the inward voice. All right. The fourth way God speaks to us is through the audible voice. So there's an inward voice, there's an audible voice. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. It said, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. This one was not an inward voice. It was an audible voice. Hallelujah. This is possible with every Christian, more common with men of God with prophetic ministry. Look at it. The Holy Ghost was even able to tell him the number of people and the agenda. The agenda. They were men and they were three. Sometimes when you are ministering under the anointing, you hear the Holy Spirit audibly, like somebody standing behind you. I've heard that several times. That is very emphatic, very authoritative, and very specific. But hear me, not every audible voice is coming from God. So you have to know how to judge voices, because the devil can also speak to you audibly. In fact, when Jesus finished his 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, the first voice he heard was from Satan. How do you know if a voice is from God? Number one, it must agree with Scripture. It must agree with Scripture. Hallelujah. So if a voice is telling you, leave your wife and marry another, that is not God's voice. Is it? Is it? No. But do you know people have heard that voice? That is not Scripture. Amen. Yeah, so it must agree with Scripture. Number two, you must have a witness in your spirit that that voice is from God. Number three, it must agree with previous words that God has spoken to you before. Hallelujah. Yeah, that is why it's important to always keep records of the things God has told you about specific issues that you are praying about. Because the Bible says we prophesy in part. Sometimes when you start praying about an issue, God will not tell you everything once. It will come in pieces of direction. Some may come through an inward voice. Some may come through an audible voice. Some may come through the time of preaching. You put all of them together and say, this is what God is saying. Now, another important thing is that the voice of God does not violate authority. Okay? Yeah. For instance, this month, God's instruction is fasting. God cannot bypass that instruction and come and tell you, this month, don't fast. Are you understanding me? You know, I heard a voice telling me, the Holy Ghost has spoken to me that I should not fast this month. I should fast rather in September. I've seen people in church like that. Every direction you give, they will get a contrary direction. And they will convince other people in the church to join them, to ignore the instruction of God and do something else. That voice is a demonic voice. It's a spirit of rebellion. And obviously, it's coming from somewhere, which you know. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, audible voice. Look at 1 Timothy 4, which we are learning from today. It says, the Spirit speaks expressly. That is the audible voice. Paul heard it. Paul heard a voice saying to him, in the last days, this is what's going to happen. And he started writing it. And the audible voice doesn't come all the time to people. It comes on very important issues. The inward voice is more common. If you ask me, what is the most commonest way God speaks to me? The inward voice and the word of God. These two, more common. Fifth one is visions. Visions. God can speak to us through visions. An open vision is when your eyes are open and you see. As I'm here right now, I'm looking at my council members and their spouses, but I can see something else with my eyes open. And I see that a lot. But there's also another vision called a closed vision. The closed vision is your eyes must be closed. But whilst your eyes are closed, your spiritual eyes open. Are you understanding me? So sometimes you are praying, you close your eyes, and you realize that you are somewhere, you are seeing something. That's what we call a closed vision. The third kind of vision is what we call a trance. A trance is you are not asleep, but you are not awake too. Sometimes you are just there, you just realize, you just went off for few minutes, few seconds, but you are not conscious, but you knew that you were not sleeping, and you just saw certain things. Sometimes you can be in a truck going home, and before you realize, you just, as if you just slept, you just saw something. That's what we call a trance. Amen. And God has spoken to a lot of people through trance, even in the Bible. But let me say this, visions also, not every vision comes from God. Hello? So when you say you have seen a vision, we have to be sure it's God. We have to pray and be sure. And the same way you judge an audible voice, you must judge a vision like that. Because I've heard people say they saw a vision and everything that happened later was disaster. Whether they really saw or what they saw was wrong, I can't tell. Amen. Yeah. But God can open people's eyes to see. But you have to be able to judge the vision. Number two, that other thing, important thing about vision I want to know is that visions must be properly interpreted. Sometimes you can see a genuine vision from God, but the interpretation you gave it was totally wrong. Some people say there's a book that gives interpretation of visions. Please, that is not from God. If you see water, it means this. If you see stone, it means this. If you see snake, it means this. No, don't buy those kind of books. If you have a vision, pray about it and let the Lord speak to you. Look at this, Acts 10. The Bible said Paul was thinking about a vision he had, and the Spirit began to speak to him. While Peter thought about what? The vision, the Spirit is what? Said to him, behold, three men. Do you know what a vision Peter saw? He saw a basket came from heaven, and what was in it? Animal that Jews don't eat. You know, the Jews don't eat vulture, reptiles. He saw a basket with all the food that Jews don't eat, the meat. He saw it on it. How can you connect that to three men? You saw a basket with pig meat, you know, crocodile meat, vulture, and all that. But when he woke up thinking about the vision, look at what the Lord told him, that three men are looking for you. But these three men were not Israelites. They were Romans, sent by Cornelius the Roman. So God was telling Peter that people who are not Jews are about to receive the gospel and be filled with the Spirit. And in Jewish tradition, the people who are not Israelites, they consider them Gentiles or unclean nations. That is why he saw an unclean animals being given to him. Are you understanding? Yeah, so sometimes you can see a vision and give it wrong interpretations. Most of you have done a lot of very bad decisions by the kind of visions you had. Yeah, interpretation of visions and the timing for action concerning every vision, very important. The next way God speaks to us is through dreams. Dreams. Dreams are pictures in the minds of a believer in a time of sleep. Pictures. When you are awake, we can have pictures. And these pictures are what? Imaginations. For example, you can be here now, imagine your bedroom. You can have a picture of your bedroom. Or imagine your dream car. Hallelujah. A picture of your dream car. Amen. Can you imagine that? Or your dream house with whatever you want in the house. Swimming pool, garden. What else? Hallelujah. Everything in the house. No drinking bars in the house. When we sleep also, pictures come to our mind. Amen. These pictures can come from different sources. So let me talk about them. Different sources. The first source is ourselves. Now you can think about a lot of things when you sleep. They play back on your mind. So pictures can come from ourselves. Sometimes too, God can put some pictures in your mind. There are many people God has spoken to through dreams. Amen. Many people. And the dreams were accurate. Daniel had a lot of dreams and he also had visions. In fact, Daniel called his dreams visions of the night. So dreams are visions, but they are visions to people who are sleeping. Amen. And they can be very powerful. They can be very, very detailed. They can be very instructive. I've had dreams that are very detailed, very detailed. And don't try to recollect a dream you've forgotten. If God will talk to you, he will not make you forget what he wants to show you. And don't force yourself to live your life by dreams. In fact, there are people I know, Every time they wake up in the morning, the first thing they do is, which dream did I have? And if they can't forget anything, they start cracking their head. No, you don't need that. Because there are seven different ways God can speak to you. If you didn't have a dream in the night, maybe he want to talk to you from your Bible that morning. I mean, there are many ways God, and you cannot determine which way God used to talk to you. He decides which way to speak to you per time. Are you with me? Yeah, so dreams. Now, so God can put pictures in your mind. Now listen to me. Satan can also put pictures on your mind. How many of you ever in your life, you have sat down thinking about certain things? When you came to yourself and said, no, this thought is coming from the devil. How many of you, it has happened to you like that before? You just felt, no, this thought is not something you plan to think or you plan to imagine. You came to yourself and said, why should I, a whole holy person like me, this thought is going through my mind. How many have, it has happened to me several times. Let me see. Yeah. The same way Satan can put pictures of imagination in your mind, the same way when you dream, you can have pictures that are from the devil. So not every dream is coming from God. Sometimes Satan can show you bad dreams about good people. You know why? So that you can disassociate yourself from the good person God has destined to help you. Sometimes your married partner, you can have a bad dream about the person. And when you wake up, you say, thank you, Lord, I'm free at last. Satan has finished you, you don't know. Sometimes a very good man, godly man, God has spoken to him to marry you. He came. And when you slept, you had a dream. And the person was taking cutlass, chasing you. And you were running, calling, mama, mama, help me. Mama, hey, help me. And that dream, the devil took a good man's face, projected in your dreams, because he doesn't want you to marry a good man. Then another day, you were asleep, you were dreaming. Then you saw a certain man. And the man was wearing white, with white shoes. Hallelujah. Holding a white Bible. And then you two, you were wearing your wedding gown, very white. And then a man came and did his hand like this. And then you put your hand inside. And then the two of you were walking to the altar. And then there was a big crowd. People were clapping. And then the pastor too was wearing a white suit. And then the pastor said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Listen to me. I know many, many, many pastors and Christians who married because of a dream and they are suffering. I know many, many people who made decisions because of a dream and they are suffering. Don't ever think that every dream is coming from God. Yeah, not every dream is coming from God. And sometimes some of you, people are behaving funny towards you. You don't know what dream they had. Maybe Satan just took your face and went to do some bad things in their dream. And now they believe that either you are a witch, especially those of you who are very, very quick to detect witches, all right? Some of you, your gift, your anointing is to detect witches. That's where your anointing flows. Now listen, sometimes a witch, not sometimes, most of the time, a witch can manipulate your dream and make you see your helper rather as a witch. And make you see her, the witch, as an angel. What a shock. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, a witch. So not every dream is from God. Are we okay with that? The last one is prophecy. Prophecy. The last way God speaks to us is through prophecy. Amen. Prophecy is God speaking through a prophet to give you a prophetic word. Now, I am choosing my words very, very carefully so that you write it down. Prophecy is what? God speaking through who? So if a Christian brother comes to you to give you a prophecy, please treat it cautiously. Treat it what? Cautiously. Because that person is not matured enough, experienced enough, anointed enough to prophesy to you. Only men of God qualify to prophesy. Did you hear what I said? Because prophecy is a serious thing. It is like a nurse should not do the work of a doctor. Why? Because human lives are at stake. So to be a doctor, you must go through school 7 years. And then 1 year of housemanship. You have another year to study and do your professional exams. Pass before they leave human beings in your hands. Because one wrong prescription, you kill people. Even that, there are certain cases they will not allow you to handle. Until you practice for a while and do a specialist and you specialize. Before they can allow you to handle certain issues. Are you with me? So prophecy is not joke. It's not for babies. It's not for somebody who just got born again after a while, went to 3 months Bible school and take a title that is a prophet. No, that is not prophecy. Because every prophecy you give, people are going to make major life decisions on it. We can make them or break them, kill them or make them alive. Are you with me? So From today, don't go everywhere, hear every prophecy, and go act your life on it. Your life is very precious. It's only one. And you don't have time for trial and error. You understand me? So, to be called a man of God, it takes years of training. Hallelujah. I'll give you a scripture. 1 Kings 19:16. And you shall what? Anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as what? Prophet in your place. So God told Elijah, one day you are going to be no more, and you need to raise a successor. Now listen, after this event, it took over 20 years for Elisha to enter the office of the prophet. Over 20 years. Why is it so? Pastor God, you know that there are things we see, we are not sure. We tell each other. We wait to see whether it will happen or not. When it happens, it's okay. It means that what I saw is what? Was true. That's how you train yourself. So when the prophetic ministry starts, you judge people secretly and you judge yourself privately for a long time. One day, Pastor Felix was asking me, why is it that God showed him something and he prayed against it? Then the thing happened. You remember you asked me that question? Last year, Greater Works. And I told him that God wanted you to know he's the one who showed you the vision. That's all. Because at that time, he's training you to, number one, identify his voice. Number two, be sure. Because by the time you are coming out and saying, this party is going to win election, then it didn't happen. Then you said, oh, the reason why it didn't happen is because of this, that. Why didn't you know that what you say will not happen and this is the story you tell us? Hallelujah. Real men of God, they can be able to tell you that it will rain tomorrow at 12 noon and it shall be so. These are people, when they prophesy to you, you can take what they are saying and take your life on it. Hallelujah. Give me 2 Kings chapter 2. Now look at it. It says what? Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know the Lord will take away your master away from you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Now in Israel those days, they had what they call the school of the prophets. All right? These schools were built by Elijah in all the major cities. So people with a calling to prophetic ministry, he put them in a school and they have to be trained for years. Do you know why? Because in Israel, if you give a prophecy and it doesn't happen, you are stoned to death. Wouldn't that be good today? It would have been good. Like we would have few prophets, I'm telling you. But today, everybody is calling themselves prophet. Yeah. You are stoned to death. So you have to be in school until they are sure. And you yourself, you should be sure that now you are free from that danger zone where your life can be secured. Then you call yourself a prophet. Because in the time of crisis and situation, the king will call you and say, prophet, what are you seeing? And your head is on the line. Yeah. So prophecy is God speaking through a man of God to any child of God about specific issues concerning his life, either to bring solution to a problem or to correct a particular lifestyle pattern. Third work of prophecy is to give you hope, encouragement, and comfort you. That's what prophecy does. Amen? Encourage you, give you hope, and comfort you in the times of crisis. To change the situation, the crisis, by a prophetic word. Elisha got up one day and said, thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, this famine will be over, food will be so cheap, the poorest of the poor can afford to buy food. And somebody said, are you sure what you are saying? I'm right, you know. Because what you are saying, even God opened the window of heaven, it can never happen. Elisha said, you will see it, but you will not enjoy it. The man died the following day. Food was present. Yeah, those are prophets. Those are prophets. The Bible said that the true mark of a prophet is that everything he declares in the name of the Lord must come to pass. Oh, that's a serious, that's a heavy duty thing. Everything he says in the name of the Lord must come to pass. Amen. So 7 ways God can speak to you. You can never determine how God will speak to you. Amen. Don't say, God, today I want to see a vision. You will see a vision which is not from God. Oh, today, God, in my night, give me dreams. You will have a dream, but that dream will never come from God. Are you hearing me? Lord, today speak to me and I want to hear your voice audibly. No, he decides that today I want to speak to my child by an audible voice. Today I want to speak to him through the word. I want to speak to him through the scripture. Or today I'm going to speak to my daughter in church. When he sits down, I'm going to use the man of God who's preaching to speak. Every time I ask a man of God to preach here, I prepare myself to hear something God wants the church to hear. Amen? The spirit of deception. If you are free from the spirit of deception, you'll be greatly blessed. And I see that blessing coming on your life. I said, I see that blessing coming on your life. every deception. You know, deception can come from demons, can come also from people. Sometimes Satan uses people to just mislead you. Sometimes it can even be a friend. Hallelujah. You know, you can be deceived more from friends than enemies. Because an enemy, you are careful. Because everything he says, you already know the person hates you. But a friend who cannot discern the voice of God properly. You know, sometimes a friend can be giving you a good advice, but it's not the right advice. And today, I want to talk to you that there's a difference between a good decision and the right decision. A good decision and the right decision. And every friend that is close to me, like Pastor Godwin, we have learned how to advise, but not impose. Are you understanding me? Yeah. Look, I think this is the right thing, but I will not be angry and say, don't you think I'm a man of God? I told you to do this. You didn't do it. Why? What do you think? What do you think I am? No. I think this is what you should do, but you need to pray about it. Yeah. Sometimes he has told me things. I've prayed about it, and I told him, no, I think that's not the way I want to go, because a good advice may not be the right advice. Sometimes you yourself, you can make a good decision. Tell everybody, this is what you are going to do. I've done that many times. I've told people I'm going to do this. Very good thing. Everybody's happy about it. Then later, I do that. Another thing else. And everybody was wondering. Because at the time, I told people I was doing it. It was a good advice. But later, I found out from the Holy Ghost that it was not the right decision. Amen? Make the right decision. Work with the right people. Marry the right person. Make the right kind of business. You know, there are a lot of good businesses these days. People come to you and give a lot of good advice. You know, this business is very good. Is that the right thing God wants you to do? Because somebody is doing it, getting money, does not mean you do it, get money. You can do it and get crisis. Amen.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-33-11201. Remain blessed.